Our scripture today comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Okay, fill in the blanks. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee.
How great thou art, how great thou art.
What about this one? Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say. When we sing, that was beautiful, harmonized and everything. I think from now on the worship team is not a thing. Instead, we have a choir, okay? So that's what will be from now on in. But when we sing, what is happening is that our hearts are listening to our hearts are listening to our mouths. When we sing, our minds are listening to our mouths. And it works like this. Yes, of course, we sing what we believe, but we also end up believing what we sing. So we don't just sing what we believe, we also believe what we sing. What comes out of our mouths is so important because our minds and our hearts are listening. The mouths of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak what is just. This is true, but also their throats are open graves, their mouths practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips, their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness, Romans 3:14. So what is your mind and heart hearing when you speak? Also, what are the minds and hearts of others hearing as you speak? What comes out of our mouths matters because our minds and our hearts are listening to our mouths. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. James 3:9-10. Last week, Karen shared her story, and I know that as we heard Karen speak, that many of us were encouraged, that we were reminded through Karen's story of a covenant-keeping God. The same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God of Karen and the God of me and you. The God who has not changed one little bit ever. And so we heard Karen's story set against the backdrop of Hebrews 5:5-10, and we were encouraged. I hope that Sunday mornings isn't the only time that we're listening to worthy things. I hope that we're listening to worship songs. I hope we're reading the Bible. I hope that we're reading it out loud to ourselves so that our ears can hear it being spoken. I hope that we're stepping into friendships of faith that can lift our spirits, so that we can be encouraging ourselves through who we talk to, through what we listen to, through what we watch, and through what we speak. Why is that important? Because our ears are listening. And our ears, I don't know if you knew this, you won't find this in any medical book, but our ears are the side doors to our hearts. Okay, our eyes are the front doors to our hearts, but our ears are the side doors to our hearts. And so, friends, memorizing truth is vital. We speak what we know. We speak what we memorize. We all have a liturgy. We all have an internal liturgy, those things that we say over and over to ourselves, to each other, and to God. And I know that some of our liturgies are not very good at all. Those things that we say when we're looking in the mirror, that's those negative things. That isn't a good internal liturgy, but we all have a liturgy. We are all liturgical. Our liturgy is what we've memorized, either on purpose or by accident. And some of us, through maybe our parents or other significant relationships in our lives, have learnt an unhealthy liturgy. Now, I don't want to have to open the Bible every single time I want to fight off the enemy, or every time I want to speak to a friend, or every time that I want to remind myself of the truth of God. I don't want to have to go and find a verse to open the Bible for that purpose. I want to have it already inside. As it says in the Bible, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Then verse 13 of Psalm 119, with my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. Hidden your word, that means memorizing. We memorize truth. We speak truth because our minds listen to our lips. And so we don't just think truth, we speak truth. And a great way to speak truth is to sing. And so for the teens on Wednesdays to be able to sing, because I've built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season, so why should he fail now? He won't, right? He won't. He won't fail. We need those liturgies. I've memorized the Apostles' Creed because I need to, because I have to, because on those mornings when I'm struggling, I need to be able to say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and so on and so forth. Because by the end of it, my mind has changed. We talked about St. Patrick's breastplate last week. Imagine if you woke up each morning and said to yourself, I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three, of whom all nature hath creation, eternal Father, Spirit, Word, praise to the Lord of my salvation. Salvation is of Christ the Lord. Wendy gets up many mornings and she goes on to the deck and she sings, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Sing with me. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And as she's singing this, she's not reading it from a book. She knows it because she's memorized it. And in those four lines, she's placed herself theologically to start the day well. She's grounded herself spiritually because she's praising God. She's reminding her heart through the side doors of the ears that all blessings come from him. She's reminding herself that there is a physical realm and a spiritual realm, that there are creatures below and a heavenly host. She's reminded herself that God is not an entity. He's not an it. He's a person. He's a he and a him. And she's reminded herself of the mystery of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, three persons who's worthy of praise. She's taken what is in her mind, and she's spoken it out through her mouth, which then goes through the side doors of her ear into the heart. Mind, mouth, ears, and heart. Or you could say it this way, I believe it. So I speak it, I hear it, and then I feel it. I believe it, I speak it, I hear it, I feel it. Do you see how important it is that we don't just have a mental faith, but we have a spoken faith, a verbalized liturgy, a pronounced creed? If you don't believe me that this is important, then come with me to Southbridge Long-Term Care Home on the first Sunday of the month and watch these people, many of whose minds have retreated into the fog of dementia, sing the songs that they remember. The muscle memory is kicking in. Even as their mental faculties are fading, they are singing truth to themselves. These songs that they've memorized from them when they were kids, from when they were teenagers, and when they were young adults. And in the early church, they had hymns too. They sang songs to remind themselves of the truth of God. They sang in order to memorize. And here is one of the hymns. This is the hymn. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Obedient to death, even death on a cross. Oh. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. That song was word for word, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, and here's what someone said about Philippians chapter 2. Says Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11 is one of the most amazing passages in the Bible. We are on holy ground here. It appears to be an early hymn or a poetic creed, perhaps used liturgically in ancient worship. These words from Mr. Tony Merida pretty much nail why Philippians 2, 5 to 11 is so important. It's an early synopsis or a distillation of the Christian faith. It's a hymn, it's a creed that we have recorded for us. He also says this: it seems to have a unified structure, starting with God in eternity and ending in the same way, but hinging on verse 9. Think V-shaped, with verse 9 being the bottom angle, even death on a cross. Some propose that it was written by an early Jewish community in Jerusalem and sung during the Lord's Supper. And I got to sing it this morning. And it starts with these words. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And the clues to the context, of course, come in the preceding verses, verse 1 through 4. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Which leads us to verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Now, this morning, as you can tell, I'm not going to be preaching through this amazing hymn, because the whole point of memorizing hymns is not necessarily to theologically unpack them every time we sing them. The point is to sing hymns so that we can get them and their truth into our hearts via our mouth, via our ears, through our mouths, and then to allow the powerful word of God to be unleashed quietly in our lives as we meditate on it, as we ruminate on it once we've memorized it. Now, I've been fighting a cold for a couple of weeks. I don't know how exactly the Neo Citron powder works, but I know it does work. And so my job isn't to understand it, but my job is to get it from being in the sachet into my body. It's to get it from being an external theological truth to becoming an internalized experience. And I do that by boiling a kettle, by mixing in the powder, and by drinking it. And as a result, whether I understand it or not, I feel better. And the Bible works often in the same way. We need to get it inside us so that we can allow it to do its work. And that's why I've spent so long this morning talking about, you know, the power of the spoken words, the power of the listening ear, and the change that comes to the heart as a result. And that's why I've hardly spent any time looking at our passage this morning, because if there's any takeaway I want you to take away from this morning, it's memorize Scripture. Do whatever it takes to get the word of God inside you so that he can start to work in the recesses of your heart and mind. And that's why I turn this passage into a song, so that I can learn it. And have a guess what? I know this passage a lot better through turning it into a song than if I just tried to memorize it by myself. You know, and I remember Curtis, he turned a Colossians passage into a song as well, and we sang it as a church. So if it helps you, then listen to that song, learn it, and memorize it. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. I can just hear the melody. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Okay, it's in there. Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. This is big. Jesus, the beloved one, the second person of the Trinity, co-equal with the Father and the Spirit, had every privilege, every right. He was adored, he was worshipped, he was utterly content and happy and fulfilled in every single way. Jesus did not need anything. He lacked nothing. He was in very nature God, which means that he wasn't a created being. He was God from God. The Nicene Creed says this: we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, who was begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. And if you were raised in the Anglican Church, then those words might be familiar to you. And that part, light from light, is the Council of Nicaea's attempt to describe the relationship of the Son with the Father. And so they say light from light, meaning this, it trying to separate the rays of the sun, the rays of light that come from the sun, with the essence of light that is the sun, is impossible. Yes, the rays reach us, so they are something different, but Not in essence. The sun and its rays are one. Light from light. The Father and the Son are one. This is his nature. This was his nature. Now, this might not seem like a big deal to us, but in Nicaea, in what is now Turkey, in 325 AD, this phrase, light from light, was everything. The bishops who met in Nicaea wanted to reach a consensus on what the relationship of the Father Son was to the Father. Was he homoousios, of the same substance, or was he homoiousios, of a similar substance? In other words, was Jesus God through and through? And the Council of Nicaea, they concluded that Jesus was of the same substance as the Father, homoousios. Or God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. And the cool thing is that this hymn in Philippians chapter 2 already knew this, right? Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Now get this, the book of Philippians was written between AD 60 and AD 62, just 30 years after Jesus died. Now, that's not very long. If you're middle-aged, and you can think back to 30 years ago, okay? That is the time difference between the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his ascension, and the writing of this book to the church at Philippi. And I think that it's incredible that this creed of such theological depth and truth had already circulated to the point that it had become a hymn that was referenced by Paul in his letter in just 30 years. It's amazing. And this hymn in Philippians chapter 2 carries on. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And here we see this glorious mystery of God, the eternal Son of God, the same nature as the Father, taking on an additional nature, the nature of a servant, the nature of a human. Now, it says in English, being made in human likeness. And that can sound a bit like, well, he looked like us, but he wasn't really us. You know, he appeared to be human, but he wasn't really human. And many of the heresies of the church, including Docetism, are to do with just how human was Jesus, or how divine was he. So, was he just floating through this world, appearing to be human, but really it was just a masquerade? And if so, if this is what the reality was, then what does this mean for his suffering on the cross? Was he really suffering? What does this mean for the bloody sweat in the garden? What does it mean for him being tempted in every way as we are if he just appeared to be human? So likeness in this verse, being made in human likeness, it does not mean he had a passing resemblance to humanity. It means that he became one of us. Romans 3 agrees with this and explains it in this way. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. There's that phrase again. In the likeness of sinful flesh, to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Romans 8, 3-4. This is saying that for Jesus to be a sin offering for us human beings, he needed to be a human being in every single way except sin. And this means that just as Jesus was homoousios of one nature with the Father, so he is now homoousios of one nature with humanity. So he's 100% God, 100% man. He's two natures in one being. And this, friends, is the miracle of the incarnation. As Charles Wesley wrote, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Jesus chose our form so that we could become like him. Jesus chose our form so that we could be elevated with him. Jesus went through the act of creation himself so that we could be created or recreated in him. Okay, think about that. Jesus, the Son of God, co-equal with the Father, who was there at the creation of the world, went through the act of creation for us, for me, for you. The Creator was created. He humbled himself in a way that we can never understand, at least not this side of eternity. But we can marvel in it. We can worship him because of it. We can sing it. We can take that neo-citron, even though we don't understand it, and we can apply it to our lives. And we need to sing it. We need to sing these truths because he is our example, because our mindset matters, and our mindset has an impact on how we live our lives. Verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Theology is supposed to be lived out. The songs we sing aren't just supposed to be sung on Sunday morning. They're to be lived out on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And in order for us to sing them on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we need to be memorizing them so that our mindsets can be transformed. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds, and our minds receive the truth that transforms us as we speak it and as our ears hear it. The whole point of Paul quoting this early church hymn was so that the church at Philippi, in their relationships with one another, would have the mindset of Jesus Christ. And how would they know what the mindset of Jesus was? How would they know what Jesus would do in any given circumstance? Well, they would do it by remembering this hymn, by actually committing it to memory. So let's imagine this morning that we are part of the church at Philippi, and we are gathering together to listen to this letter from Paul. So you're all on the edge of your seat because Paul is, you know, the church founder. He's the apostle. He's written a letter, and this is the first time that we're hearing it. And so, you know, he's read the first little bit. Whoever's reading it, which is me, has read the first little bit, blah, 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 blah. And then you hear these words, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And then you start to hear a familiar flow of words that you recognize, who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Now, you hear this and you start to nudge your neighbor. Hey, this is the song that we were singing last week. The reader continues, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And you find yourself humming along. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus, every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's a reason why Paul quoted the hymn rather than just continuing to state a bunch of truths. And could that reason be because he wanted the church at Philippi to remember the mindset of Christ, not just 5 minutes after the letter was read, but also a day later, a week later, a month later, a year later? He wanted the people of Philippi to be able to apply the truth they'd heard and to live it out. And for this to happen, it needed to be memorized. Okay, let me make this a little more personal. Invariably, for me, I'm at my weakest and most prone to temptation and sin when I've got nothing in my head and no words of truth coming out of my mouth. When I'm going through a tough time, I'm far more likely to get stuck in a spiral of negative thinking if my mind is blank. And I know that as men, we have these nothing drawers, right? But if my mind is full with, say, a verse like this, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. If I have that ingrained in my brain, if I have that memorized, I'm much more likely to respond in a godly way. This is why Philippians chapter 2, 5 to 11 is a hymn. And this is why we need to memorize great truths through great songs. If my mind is blank, I will believe the lie that God does not love me as I look at the tough circumstances I'm in. However, I will remain encouraged if I have the presence of mind to sing to myself or to speak to myself what I've already memorized. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I will doubt the goodness of God if my mind is blank, if my heart is empty, but I will remember who he is if I have written on my heart, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And I will start believing the lie that this life is all about me and my satisfaction unless I've memorized words like this. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. Friends, our mindset matters. And because mindset matters, memory matters. Mind to mouth, to ears to heart. I believe it, I speak it, I hear it, I feel it. I believe it, I speak it, I hear it, I feel it.